Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Also KCPP 1140 AM. And very importantly today, KEES 1430 AM, because that is our station in the Tyler Longview area. This is a big day for the Diocese of Tyler, as we'll explain in just a moment. My name is Dave Palmer, host of this program. Cecil Anderson is here as well, and I've got six things to talk about in 5 minutes.
Setting the timer now.
Coming up in a moment, in about 5 minutes, Father Joy Joseph is going to join us. He is the pastor of Holy Cross Parish in the Colony. He is a TOR Franciscan priest, and we're going to talk about his vocation, his work in Northern India, and also about his parish, and we'll talk about what the TORs are, if in case you haven't heard about that. And then about halfway through the program, we're going to play some audio clips. Cecil and I were both blessed to go to the Catholic Foundation Awards dinner on Saturday at the Anatole Hotel. Hank Herman of St. Vincent de Paul Society and the pharmacy of St. Vincent de Paul was the honoree there that evening. So we have a lot of clips to play for you for that. And let's see, at the end, one of our sponsors, you probably heard Evan Frazier. He is a sponsor, and he is with TechWise Financial. He is the founder of TechWise Financial. He is in town. He's actually from Colorado, so he's in town. So I said, come on the air with us and talk for a little. So that'll be at the end of the program as well. All right, so let's talk about a few things here. Cecil, tomorrow morning, 7:15, what will you be doing?
Let's see. Probably enjoying a cup of coffee. No, I'm going to be listening.
Well, that might be true.
I will be enjoying a cup of coffee, listening to Morning Joy, because that's when the car raffle drawing is going to happen. It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah. Did you get a lot of people asking you like about the delay? Because it was supposed to be last Friday morning.
It was. Yeah. I've had a few people ask me, a few texts, a few calls, a few emails, just kind of curiosity. Like, well, who won the car? And I was like, well, so far, no one.
Yeah. I saw Father James Yamauchi at the event on Saturday. And that's the first thing he asked. He said, well, what's going on? Is it going to be, you know, Tuesday? And so, yeah, there was delays with FedEx. We literally sent all the actual physical stubs to Midland, and they have the hopper that they, you know, spin around, and then Lisa or Sammy or somebody's going to put their hand in there and draw, so that you got to make sure all the stubs get there. And because of the weather issues, there was a delay, and that's why it wasn't Friday, but it's going to be tomorrow morning at 7:15. All right. Next Share-a-thon will be our 2025 Spring Share-a-thon. Talking Heaven is the theme. Starts on Monday, March 24th. Any other details? Still a ways off. Anything else you think we need to talk about?
No, just like start maybe looking at your calendars for that week. We'll have a couple of three different shifts of volunteers that we'll need for Share-a-thon. So just kind of keep that week in your mind.
And you haven't sent the email out yet?
Not sent the email out yet. If you're not on our email list, make sure that you are. You can email us about that, and you'll find out all that information about when to volunteer and what all that is about.
All right, and Bishop Greg Kelly, as I alluded to, is going to be installed as the Bishop of Tyler today, beginning at 2:00 in the afternoon, so just about 2 hours from now. And if you would like to watch it, I think there are streams on both the Dallas Diocese website and also the Tyler Diocese website. If you let's see, so we're going to be running it in Tyler on our two stations in the Tyler Diocese, but that's obviously going to be audio only. So if you're in the car and you want to listen to it, you can either go to DallasCatholic.com, the Tyler Diocese website, or else go to our website and click on KES,
our app,
right?
You can listen on our Tyler station, Keys.
All right. And so congratulations to him. A couple more things. The 25th anniversary event for the Guadalupe Radio Network is going to be July 19th, Saturday, July 19th at the Plano Event Center. And I've been telling people, if you don't have your tickets, and it's a free event, Father Chris Alar is going to be one of our speakers. There's going to be a concert by Matt Maher, Deacon Harold Brooke Sivers, Debbie and Adam and Jerry Usher, Monsignor Pope. I mean, it's going to be a really great event. Mass. And let's see, adoration. There's going to be relics, but go to grnonline.com/anniversary. And just by in seriousness, I know people say, oh, it's going to sell out. Well, it's not a sellout because it's a free event, but there will come a time, probably sooner than we think, when we say we have to cut off registrations because it's filled up. And so right now it's not filled up yet, but we're probably getting close to the halfway point. And we've only been promoting it for a couple of weeks. So go to that website and get your tickets to be sure that you're on the list for this free event on Saturday, July 19th. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, I want to mention that tonight at 9 o'clock Rome time, Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Parolin is going to lead a prayer service and rosary for Pope Francis at St. Peter's Square. And obviously, Pope Francis is in critical condition with double pneumonia and issues with his kidneys. And so that would be about 3 o'clock our time.
I think so. I'm really bad with the world clocks and keeping the time zones.
Yeah. Straight. And also, men's conference coming up this Saturday at St. Elizabeth Anseton Parish in Keller. And I'm guessing probably you can still get tickets. They've got a lot of...
They have 800 people registered so far from 100 different churches with just 6 days to go.
Wow. Okay. So. Now I'm going to be there. I'm going to be the MC. So CatholicBrothersForChrist.com, CatholicBrothersForChrist.com. That's Chris Stefanik, Father Leo Paddlinghug, Kevin Matthews, me as MC. And so please get your tickets for that. That's not a free event, but it's relatively inexpensive, especially since you get lunch and breakfast and all those talks and a lot going on. So CatholicBrothersForChrist.com is the website. So with no further ado, let me introduce my in-studio guest. He is Father Joy Joseph. He is a TOR priest, a Franciscan Third Order regular, and he serves as the pastor of Holy Cross Parish in the colony. You can find them online at holycrosscc.org. And I'll quickly read their mission statement from their website, and then we'll bring Father Joy Joseph into the conversation. We, diverse members of Holy Cross Parish, seek to build God's kingdom on earth, united in prayer under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and in communion with the Roman Catholic Church. We will serve, teach, and evangelize throughout the community. Using our time, talent, and treasure for the honor and glory of God, we strive to lead all to the everlasting light of Christ. Father Joy Joseph, thanks for being here. Nice to see you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, so how long have you been a priest?
I am a priest for 30 years.
30 years.
Yeah.
And I know you sent me some bullet points of things that we can talk about. I always want to start just with a priest vocation story. I believe it started in India,
correct,
where you're from, and you worked in Indian missions. And of course, now you're here in the Fort Worth Diocese. So 30-year priest, can you take us back? When did you first feel that call, or how did God get your attention that he was calling you into, at least into the seminary?
Yeah, I joined the Franciscans in 1983. That's after my sophomore. Then I had a few years of formation. Then I went to the novitiate, and 1995 I was ordained as a TOR Franciscan priest. So
1995,
right.
Yeah, 30 years ago. And did you at that point know that you were going to be sent overseas, or did you think that you were going to stay in India, or what was the expectation?
Oh, I never heard about America. I mean, I heard about America, but not as a missionary or anything. My vocation was to the North Indian missions. So that's where the TOR mission began. In 1938, if you'd like to hear about a little bit about the history, that would be nice. We have a historian brought out a small book about the friars who came from Loreto, Pennsylvania in 1938. It's called American TOR Pioneers in India. I was reading the preface. A small paragraph says all about it.
Okay.
Can I read it for you?
Yes,
okay.
Please do. Yes.
When the Sacred Heart Province launched its mission in India in 1938, the province had only about 30 priest friars and had to beg fund for the passage of the missionaries. And yet, the province was extremely generous in providing men and money for all important work in India. Even when communities suffered irreparable loss in the disastrous fire of October 30th, 1942, which burned down the old main hall of the St. Francis College, Indian mission was never neglected. Such is the story of Franciscan heroism. And the end paragraph is this: the story of the American Tewa friars who spent and were spent in the cause of evangelization in India can be summed up in three words: simplicity, generosity, and availability. As children of St. Francis, they lived a simple life. They gave to others what they had, even when it hurt them. They were totally available to their brothers and sisters whom they evangelized and served. The example of these great men can help us to live better our own missionary call in the church.
Mm. So 1938, there were priests from Pennsylvania that went to northern India.
Yes.
And they were already Franciscan TORs? And so they went there as mission territory. To evangelize people in India, or what was the purpose?
Rome gave them first a portion of North India as the Tewa Franciscan work there as evangelize, you know.
Yeah.
And so from Loreto, Pennsylvania, the second hard province sent the American friars first. I think first there was seven of them came.
Okay.
They did not know the language, the weather, the culture, everything was different.
Mm.
But they were heroes, and we always look back to Loreto, Pennsylvania as, Sacred Heart Province as our mother house.
Okay. And how interesting that they went there, and now it seems like a lot of the Indian priests are being sent here. It's almost like now y'all are paying us back and coming here to help us in America. So these priests were TORs. Simplicity, generosity, and availability. Were these the men that inspired you to choose the TORs for your vocation?
No, because I never knew about the American missionaries. Because I am from South India, Kerala.
Yeah.
So when the missionaries began working in North India, it became a diocese, and they looked for vocations. So Kerala is mostly Catholic state. It's because of the Eastern Rite, St. Thomas province. You know, St. Thomas the Apostle evangelized us in 51 AD. So we have a deep-rooted Catholic presence in Kerala and a lot of Catholics all over.
Yeah.
And so the friars sneaked in from North India for vocation to Kerala, and they called us back to North India, and we had the formation over there.
Okay.
That is when we came to know a few friars were still there when I joined. You know, others were already gone back, some were dead and buried there itself. And so that's how I came to know about the friars.
Are these mostly Hindus in northern India?
Yes.
We
never evangelize Hindus because they are very strong in their faith. The friars worked among the largest tribe in India called Sandal tribes. And interestingly, the friars were well received by the tribals, and they educated them, gave them evangelization, you know, drawing them to Catholic faith. And today we have three friars working here in Fort Worth Diocese because of the fruit of those friars who evangelized their forefathers.
Mm, okay.
We have two in St. Thomas Catholic Church in Fort Worth, and one friar working in St. Catherine.
Yes, and there's a very strong TOR presence in the Fort Worth Diocese. I'd love to know where that relationship began, because, you know, St. Maria Goretti has traditionally at least been a TOR parish, right? And St. Andrew's in Fort Worth, and you've mentioned St. Thomas, and then Holy Cross Parish, and probably some others that I'm a Good Shepherd parish in Colleyville.
Yeah, they're from the Sacred Heart Province, Loreto, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
We have three provinces representing here. India grew up so fast, and we have become three provinces in India, TORs.
Oh, is that?
So we have two friars from two provinces working in Fort Worth, plus the American friars from Loreto is also working in Fort Worth.
Yeah. And what does Third Order Regular mean, the TOR?
Third Order Regular means, you know, Francis actually is the founder of four orders, okay? The first order was the friars minor, and there are three branches: friars minor, friars capuchins, and conventuals. They have one role, three minister general. Okay. While Francis was alive and going around for evangelizing, everybody wanted to be Franciscan. So Francis said, no, you have a family, you stay where you are, I will give you some guidance. So he gave them first something called letter to the faithful. So that's an intense way of living your Christian vocation in your family. Eventually, that group began to live in poverty, chastity, and obedience, and Pope gave permission. So the third order regular, with a rule, regular non-blatha means a rule, with a regularized life with three evangelical councils, chastity, poverty, and obedience. So that way, we were born as a religious group. Then the married people who lived in family, they were known as a secular Franciscan order, the fourth order.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Thanks for explaining
that. Confusing too. People don't understand us.
Father Joy Joseph, TOR, pastor of Holy Cross Parish in the colony, holycrosscc.org is the website. And it's a beautiful parish, a lot going on, very vibrant parish. And you guys have always been very open to us going out there and promoting Catholic radio. So we appreciate that very much. How would you describe the Franciscan way of life? What is that charism? How is it different from the Dominicans or the Jesuits or the Cistercians? What's unique about a Franciscan way of life?
Everybody is trying to follow Christ everybody has a founder, and founder has a vision. And everybody's, in their own way trying to follow or trying to live the gospel. And for Francis, our vocation is first and foremost to live the gospel. All four orders have rules. Every rule begins with the statement, the way of life of the friars or people who believe live in this rule is to live the gospel first, primarily. So I can't say what is different, but we Franciscans, primarily we love God and love people. We are more people-oriented, engage in their situation, be with fun with them, go out with them, guide them, and, people loving and so more hospitable. If anybody comes, you welcome them and you don't turn them around. So we express our love for the people and in our ministry too.
You were ordained 30 years ago, 1995. Yes. Mm-hmm. You said you're from southern India, but then you did 13 years of missionary work up north, right?
North India, yes.
So before we get to that, going back, I presume brought up in a Catholic family.
Yes, very much.
Very devout. Mm-hmm. And when did you first feel like God was calling you to the priesthood?
Well, we go to Mass every Sunday, and priests were very much looked up, like someone, very unreachable, So I thought I will never become a priest. So eventually, one of my friend who studied with me, we both began to talk, why can't we give it a try, So I felt a calling towards, God is calling me, and also my auntie, my mother's younger sister is a nun. Oh. She used to visit us occasionally once a year, and she used to ask me, what is your plan? So I said, I don't have any plan. And she said, if you get married, you can have children and have, ordinary life. But if you become a priest, you can serve many people. Simply she threw that idea into my brain. Mm-hmm. It was there in the back of my mind. And my sister also joined the Sacred Heart Order, and she's a nun. And so, I had a real, when I was in sophomore, there was a real pull towards the religious life.
Mm. And were your parents excited about that when you told them?
Yeah, they supported me very much.
Right. Yeah. Do you have any other siblings besides the sister who's a nun?
No. We are seven, two brothers, myself and my brother, and four of my sisters got married, and my other sister is a nun.
Oh, okay. Father Joy Joseph's my guest from Holy Cross Parish in the colony. And so, you already mentioned a little bit about the time up north, the 13 years, but what were your memories of that time doing evangelization up in the northern part of India?
It's very interesting, but because when I go from South India to North India, it's almost like you are going to a different country. The weather is different, the food is different, the culture is different, the language is entirely different. So, but at the same time, you see a lot of poverty, and people are so poor, but they are happy. Mm-hmm. And so when you go to their house, they're so happy to welcome you and give you water or tea or something like that. So it's very fulfilling ministering to the Sandal tribes. And I enjoyed, but I didn't get much chance to work directly evangelization because I was always put in formation of the seminarians students and novitiate. And That's why when they asked me if you can you go to USA as a pastor, I was so happy because I was longing to become a pastor. So I said, okay, I will go.
You know, one name that's synonymous with India, even though she wasn't Indian, you know, nationality, is Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
Did she have an impact on you? Did you ever meet her? I mean, I know India is a huge country, but did you ever, what did she mean to your faith life? Yeah.
Not really, because we knew she was a very powerful missionary, and we could not even imagine the way she was, you know, living her vocation. I did celebrate Mass one of her convents, which was near our monastery, so we had the obligation to go for daily Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And once I went to Calcutta to meet her, and that's the time she had gone to Rome to introduce Nirmala as the new vicar general or general of the order.
Yeah.
So I just missed.
Late in her life? She was already picked her successor.
Yeah, almost.
Successor. How interesting. So after 13 years of work up north, at some point in your priestly ministry, you got a call and said, "Hey, we're sending you to America, to Texas."
No, well, not really.
How did that news break?
I came here in 2000 to do my master's in Franciscan spirituality in San Bonaventure University, Olean, New York. And I went back to formation again. They posted me as a director of Professor Brothers in Bangalore. I was in Bangalore. So at that time, they wanted to have a priest in Carrollton, which was very much in need of a priest. So Pranishul was going by one. Everybody was saying no. So at last, he asked my friend, "Hey, Pranishul asked me if I can go to the US." And I asked him, "What did you say?" I said, "No." I said, "Oh, maybe next is me."
Sure enough, everybody else said no.
Yeah.
And then you finally said, okay, I'll go?
Yeah, because then they knew that since I have some experience of living here, the culture and everything, maybe I may be a good fit. And so I said yes.
And what was your first appointment?
St. Catherine Siena Church as an associate pastor in 2008.
So you've been here a long time.
Yeah.
Is it permanent or
at any
moment they could say
you're
okay?
Yeah. It's between the provincial and the bishop.
They give you like a couple of days notice at least.
Oh, no. More than that.
Yeah. Well, because it's much more Fort Worth than even Dallas. I'm not sure if there are TOR parishes. Maybe there are in Dallas, but I think of Fort Worth. How did that relationship start between the Diocese of Fort Worth and the diocese or the TORs in India that so many of y'all came over here?
Well, it's again going back to our founding fathers from Loretta, Pennsylvania, the friars from Sacred Heart Province work in Fort Worth Diocese. And I think those friars has an influence, or the bishop might have asked those friars, you know, you have missionaries in India. I believe that's the way. We are no missionaries in Dallas Diocese, and we have no connection with the Dallas Diocese.
Mm-hmm.
But Fort Worth Diocese is like a home for us. Yeah.
But you mentioned that some of the TORs are from Pennsylvania and some are from India. Mm-hmm. So like Good Shepherd Parish in Colleyville would be more the Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Is the charism the same?
It's exactly the same,
just different parts of the world, right?
Yeah, it's the same. It's always the same. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know you had been here before, but when you did finally get here and you're in the Fort Worth Diocese, was it a culture shock? You mentioned how even northern and southern India are like different countries, but then you get to America. What was that like for you? I mean, I know you'd already been here, but when you're here permanently, or how is America different than India?
Oh, I felt really happy. People are very friendly, and you know, they ask you, what do you need? How are your father? So I felt they're very concerned. My only fear was driving, because I did not drive in India except a motorbike to go to the missions. But soon enough, I got my license. Then I began to enjoy driving around, you know.
I hear driving in India is pretty crazy.
Very crazy.
Yeah, there's everybody just kind of going everywhere, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
So it's actually safer over here, huh?
Sure enough. My goodness.
Yeah. So your first assignment was at St. Catherine Siena in Carrollton as the parochial vicar. And now you're at Holy Cross. So has it just been those two assignments so far?
No. And then after 6 months, the Bishop Kevin Van took me to the cathedral. I was there for 3.5 years. Then a bishop appointed me as a pastor in Vernon. I had 3 churches, Vernon, Quanah, and Crawl.
Mm-hmm.
Then after 3 years, 2015, Bishop Olson appointed me to Holy Cross.
Yeah.
And I think I'm rooted there now. So,
and what year was that you became a Holy Hermit?
2015.
Okay, 10 years.
10 years
that you've been pastor there.
Yeah.
That's great. You mentioned how when you were young and you were in India and everybody looked up to priests and they were almost like, you know, do you feel like there's a great respect for priests here in America? I mean, do you feel, I mean, if you're just out and about, I mean, at the parish level, of course, everybody knows you as pastor, but I tend to think people do respect priests. Do you get that impression?
Or? Yes, wherever I go, I have never looked down. I respect too, you know. So, for example, yesterday we went to a country club for dinner with a family. So when we got up, the waiter asked, "By chance, are you a priest?" Yes.
Did you have a collar on?
No.
You didn't? Oh,
no,
they just...
No,
they
civil dress.
Okay.
Yeah. So she asked me, "Are you a priest?" I said, "Yes." Then she said, "My uncle is a priest." I said, "Oh, he's Franciscan." I said, "Oh, I am Franciscan too." Yeah, I have a very, only good thing to talk about it, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
What do you most enjoy about being a priest?
Oh, well, first of all, the celebration of the Mass. At the altar, you feel you are nothing without the grace of God. And I ask myself, why Lord brought me to this level? You know, I'm right there representing Christ. And so that's, every day is a transforming experience. Then, of course, along with the other ministries like confessions, sometimes counseling and anointing of the sick. Sacraments are the burning fire that fuel our life, more energy.
Yeah.
The more you do, the more happy you become.
Yes. And let's talk about the parish itself. You know, I was out at St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco a couple of weekends ago, and that's just, it's so huge. And then over on the of course, in the Fort Worth Diocese, you've got St. Mark's Argyle, which is huge as well. And it's in a growing, bustling area. I mean, the colony, so much is going on there with the grandscapes and, you know, everything off of 121. What's life like at the parish in such a really growing area?
Yeah, I think it's landlocked. So we get always new parishioners. Some of them move out. And so it's more like a home atmosphere, the parish, you know. Everyone knows everybody else like that. And so we call ourselves a small parish with a big heart. So we are very welcoming and, you know, invite them and recognize the visitors at the end of the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Invite people to come up for a blessing for the birthday and anniversary of their marriage. Those things we keep up, and I really enjoy being in Holy Cross.
Yeah. And you're the only priest there. You got a couple of deacons,
only
the only one, right?
Well, two deacons and myself, yeah.
Yeah. And is there a Franciscan feel of the church? If somebody comes, is there something that is a little bit of a different feel because it is a TOR pastor and parish, or would anybody notice the difference?
Well, that should be asked to the parishioners, that question. I think they know I'm Franciscan.
Yeah.
Because the way sometimes they make a comment, "Oh, we're really, really blessed to have a Franciscan priest," you know, that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, I can't speak for them much.
Yeah.
So I think they're happy.
So you like it over here. And
I love it. Yeah.
You mentioned the six other siblings, the sister who's a nun, and then five others. Some of them are married and all that. Is everybody over in India, or is anybody else?
Everybody is in India, and my sister is in Germany. Like me, she was sent to the mission in Germany.
Yeah.
And I have a niece and a sister in Germany, and I have a niece and family settled in Michigan.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Some here in America as well. So what, anything coming up with the parish this year that our listeners should know about? Any festivals or Lenten mission? Or Lent is, what, nine days away. What's Lent going to look like there?
Yeah, we'll have a Lenten mission. Our deacon is going to preach for the Lenten mission. Then we are on a big project. We don't have an office building. And what we have is a very temporary one. It's falling apart. So we are launching a fundraising for $3 million, and it's coming along well. If everything works well, then we may be able to break ground by maybe May or June,
If listeners would like to support it, is there a link on the website to support?
Yes, and if you go to the website, church website, you'll find a link if somebody wants to.
All right.
You're always welcome. Any support.
well, thank you. Thank you so much. I know when we were emailing back and forth, you made a comment like, I don't know if we have enough to talk about for 20 minutes, but hey, 20 minutes have passed, actually more than that.
And
there was never a dull moment. So
thank you.
I'm very grateful. Would you, I just want to remind everybody who you are and give the website. And if you wouldn't mind imparting a blessing over the radio to those who are listening, I know they'd be grateful of that. Father Joy Joseph is the pastor of Holy Cross Parish in the colony. Their website, holycrosscc.org. They're trying to raise $3 million for this new project. So if you feel so inclined, you can donate there. Do people call you Father Joy or Father Joseph?
Joseph.
Father Joseph. Father Joseph. All right. Would you mind giving us a blessing?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon all those who are listening to this message, as well as this everybody who works for this radio station, as it brings enormous blessing to the lives of many people who are listening. Lord, continue to bless the staff, bless each one of us, that we may grow in our call to be like Christ and be always in your presence. May Almighty God bless you all. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Joseph, thank you very much. Good to see you. I'm going to take a quick picture of you, and I'm going to put it on our Facebook page. And we're very grateful that you took the time to come over here.
Thank you.
God bless. Continue to bless your ministry. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. And Cicero and I are going to talk about the Catholic Foundation event that we went to last Saturday at the Anatole, where Hank Herman was honored. So quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
What are you doing on July 19th? We hope it's joining the Guadalupe Radio Network family at our 25th anniversary celebration, Keeping the Promise. This free day-long event brings together Catholics from all over America to celebrate 25 years of reaching souls. It will be a full day with Mass, Adoration, Relic Veneration, and inspiring talks from Father Chris Alar, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and many more at the Plano Convention Center in North Texas. Reserve your spot today at grnonline.com/anniversary.
Hi, my name is Tracy Santangelo. I'm a certified nurse midwife, the owner of Birthpoints Women's Health and Birth Center in Las Colinas, and a new sponsor here on the GRN. At Birthpoint, we provide midwifery services and educational classes for women and families. To learn more about our midwifery services and our team, our website is birthpoint.com. That's Birthpoint with an E. Or we could be reached by phone at 972-215-6934. Birthpoint, delivering your legacy naturally.
Begin the 2025 Lenten season with the Jesuits of Montserrat Jesuit Retreat House at an Ash Wednesday Reflection. The Ash Wednesday morning of prayer and reflection will be held on Wednesday, March 5th from 8 a.m. to noon at the Montserrat Jesuit Retreat House in Lake Dallas. The morning includes time for silent prayer, reflection, an opportunity for confession, and receiving ashes during the Ash Wednesday Mass. For more information or to register, visit montserratretreat.org.
Families from 30 different zip codes from throughout the Dallas area provide their children the Catholic classical education uniquely offered at Mount St. Michael Catholic School. A classical education respects the natural development of the child, grounds students in the tools of learning so as to delve more deeply into the content, and expands the child's understanding of what is authentically good, true, and beautiful. To learn more, visit our website, msmcatholic.org. Mount St. Michael Catholic School is a sponsor of the GRN.
We are back. This is the Good News Show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's about 33 minutes after the hour, and Cicel and I are going to talk about the event that we went to Saturday night. I was there with my lovely wife, Paula, and Cicel brought her friend, Piper. And I don't know how many people were there, but it was the 42nd Annual Catholic Foundation Award Dinner in Dallas. Hank Herman was honored for his visionary philanthropy and also his work in shaping the creation of the first charitable pharmacy in Texas through his work with the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. And, you know, a couple weeks before the event, the news came out that Hank's wife, Margaret, passed away just about 2 weeks before the event. And so clearly that was one of the themes. In fact, I had a chance to talk to Hank about that. So thoughts, reflections? It was a lot of fun. There's a lot of people there.
Always so much fun. Yeah, there's so many people there. You just turn a corner and you recognize somebody. It's constantly. So it's always such a joy to be there. And I just love being able to kind of just enjoy a nice evening of fellowship and also just learning about great things that are happening in, you know, our Catholic area here in DFW. And just see the beautiful work. And I don't know, I always leave it very inspired. And you're just like, I want to be someone one day who would even be an option for an award. Like, I don't want to get like the award, you know, but like the idea of being like, I want to have given my life so much people would be like, oh yeah, you know.
And that's the beauty of the event, is that it highlights service. It highlights, I mean, whoever gets that award is like really above and beyond, because there's probably about 50 people they could have given the award to at any particular time. All right, well, we kind of divided and conquered. You know, Bill Kula is Director of Communications and Marketing for the Catholic Foundation. He is always very, very good in helping us and other media people. We were at the media tables. We were with folks with Decided Excellence and the Texas Catholic, and the Dallas Morning News had somebody there as well. And so Bill, you know, helped us find the right folks to talk to. And so we've got 6 audio clips that we're going to play from the event. And Cecil got a chance to speak to Matt Kramer, President, CEO of the Catholic Foundation. And he just kind of talked about the foundation in general. But here's what Matt had to say.
You know, we've just had our best year ever in contributions and also in grants. So we continue to grow. And we had over $25.6 million in grants go out of the foundation in 2024. 85% of them went to Catholic organizations across the United States, 1,000 different organizations, and I think it was 71% stayed here in the...
Cut up a little bit, but it said local in the area is what he said.
You know, I didn't hear that clip before you played it, but Tom Yoxall is the new chairman of the board of the Catholic Foundation. So I asked him a very similar question, and so he's going to kind of add on to, and you know, my basic question to him was, you know, what is the purpose and value of having the Catholic Foundation in the Diocese of Dallas and beyond? And this is what Tom said.
The value of the Catholic Foundation is to allow people to do their charitable giving through the foundation, through donor advised funds that individuals set up at the foundation. And the foundation is the steward of the money, but they help people, you know, give their grants out of their donor advised funds. And really, like, we do all of our charitable giving through our donor advised fund through the foundation. It's very efficient, and obviously we trust the foundation with our funds. And then, like I mentioned a minute ago, twice a year the foundation makes grants through a distribution process through Catholic schools, Catholic churches, Catholic entities in the Diocese of Dallas. So in the, you know, last year we gave $1.7 million worth of grants in that cycle that happens twice a year.
All right. So now one of the stars, you know, Hank Herman, of course, was the guy that was highlighted, but a big part of his story was his sister, LaClaire Herman. I did not meet her. You had a chance to talk to her. But
I did.
I know that, you know, Hank was a very successful, you know, professional in the financial sector and worked in investments and that kind of thing. And he found himself in his late 50s and had a very successful career. And then he had a conversation with his sister. Do you want to set this one up? Because I know you got this clip.
Yes, I do. It was so lovely to speak to LaClaire. And yes, she had a profound impact on what he, you know, did and kind of what led him to do all the things that he, you know, got the award for this last weekend. And so she's very humble about it. She's like, she always is like, this is the story he says, but this is the how the story goes and how she helped inspire Hank.
Well, this is the story he tells. And I'm not saying it's not true. I was visiting him here in Dallas and we were talking. And when I got home, we had some religious conversations, and when I got back home, he called me and he said, I would like you to help me get closer to God. And what can you tell me? So this is what I told him, which doesn't seem like that kind of, you know, impressive or life-changing thing, but I just said, Hank, get close to the scriptures, and if your life has been pretty satisfactory so far, maybe you should ask God what he wants you to do for him. That was it. And the next thing I knew, he was serving at a soup kitchen, and it just went on from there.
I love the background noise. That is just so cool. I don't know, it just adds something to it. You can still hear what she said. But again, that was Hank Herman's sister, LeClaire Herman, talking about the conversation she had with him. And boy, did that set off decades of philanthropy. And he started the first conference of St. Vincent de Paul at Christ the King Parish. And then, of course, with the pharmacy. And that was really the biggest thing that what they really highlighted at this event on Saturday night. I had a chance to speak with Susan Stanzel. Now, Susan Stanzel and her husband Tom have been very big supporters. In fact, she's been involved in Catholic radio from the very, 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 very beginning. And back in 1999, when I wasn't paying as much attention to what was going on because Catholic radio hadn't started yet, and she won this award. So 26 years ago, she was the recipient of the Catholic Foundation Award. And I asked her about a couple of things, but this is the clip where she talks about this year's recipient, Hank Herman.
I think it's been long overdue. He and his wife, Margaret, were daily communicants at Christ the King Church where we attend. So I would see them every morning at Mass. In fact, they would ride their bikes to church every day.
Oh, really?
Very health conscious. And then I believe they're the ones that started the chapter, the St. Vincent de Paul chapter at Christ the King.
I think so. He was the first president. Yeah.
Yes. And then I know he worked for a long time on the setting up of the pharmaceuticals for poor people. And it's just remarkable that he's done that. And he is such a modest, unassuming person. You would never know of his accomplishments. He never talks about himself. He just works hard and is very active in the St. Vincent de Paul Society.
I know you can tell it's getting louder, getting closer to dinner time. I had a chance to talk to Hank Herman himself, and he is a humble, as Susan said, very humble, unassuming person, very, very modest. And I asked him about his wife, Margaret, her passing 2 weeks ago, and just kind of how that changed the dynamic of the evening and his thoughts about her. And here's his comments.
Well, unexpected, devastating. But her health was declining. It was not going to get better. She's no longer suffering. I thank God in His mercy took her out of His mercy.
All right, that's Hank Herman. He's the one that received the award at the 42nd Annual Catholic Foundation Award Dinner in Dallas at the Anatole last weekend. Very blessed to be there. It's a great event. CatholicFoundation.com is her website. So the final person I got a chance to speak to was the recipient of what they call the Hal Tehan Scholar Award. And this goes to a junior in high school at one of the Catholic high schools in the Dallas Diocese. And every high school, Catholic high school, gets to nominate one person. And then the board of the Catholic Foundation reads an essay that these students submit. And then they choose each year the recipient. This year, it was Jesuit College Prep junior Luke Natoon as the Hal Tehan Scholar Award recipient. And he got up there. Imagine being like 17 years old and you look out at 1,000 people or so. But he gave his own presentation, talked about the essay that he'd written. But one of the things that I really wanted to talk to him about, my wife and I are parents to a special needs son. Our son Patrick is on the autism spectrum. And Luke, as a high school student, started a organization called FIND, F-I-N-D, and it stands for Families Inspiring Neurodiverse Individuals. Families Inspiring Neurodiverse Individuals. And so talk to him about a few things, but we're going to play the clip where he talks about what inspired him to start FIND. And here's what Luke had to say.
I started it at a summer camp, actually, last year. And so FIND stands for Families Inspiring Neurodiverse Development. And so our goal is to distribute pamphlets that talk about autism and about the positive method towards presenting autism. And it basically says to present it not as a medical diagnosis, but to show how beneficial it can be to people and how if you just accept it, it can be amazing.
All right, there it is. Luke Natoon, the winner of the Halty Hands Scholar Award from the Catholic Foundation event on Saturday at the Anatole. And again, if you want to learn about the Catholic Foundation and the good work they do in the Dallas Diocese, go to their website, CatholicFoundation.com. Couldn't be any easier to remember, CatholicFoundation.com. We're very grateful for Matt Kramer and the whole team, and Bill Kula, of course, for their warm hospitality and putting us at the media table there for the event on Saturday night. This is the Good News Show, and we are going to go straight into our next segment. And I got an email a couple weeks ago from one of our sponsors. You've likely heard Evan Frazier's spots that run regularly on the station. He's owner and founder and president of TechWise Financial. TechWiseFinancial.com is their website. Faith-based financial planning for Christians. And he said, hey, I'm coming to town. How about I stop by the studio? And I did an interview with him, last year. I think it was in the fall. Then he became a sponsor after that. So he joins us in studio to talk about TechWise Financial. Evan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to be here. Glad to be coming down to Dallas. A little bit warmer than where I left Colorado.
You should have come last week. That would not have been the case. Last week was like crazy cold. Really cold. I mean, by our standards.
Yeah.
Like teens for low temperatures. And so you came in a good week. This week is going to be all right. So techwisefinancial.com, faith-based financial planning for Christians. I remember talking to you, and you're a graduate of Benedictine College in Kansas, and now you started TechWise. What inspired you to start your own company? You're a young guy to have your own company. So how did you decide to kind of go off on your own?
Yeah, so I've worked at some of the major firms like Schwab and Edward Jones, and most recently a company called Personal Capital. And I really loved Personal Capital. I thought they did great work. But we ended up getting bought out by a much larger company. And you know how they always say, well, we're not going to come in and change anything. And then they came and changed everything.
They changed things.
So I started looking around and I said, you know, it's going to be really important to me to work for a place that was going to honor and my values and not make me kind of violate those values. And I kind of looked around. I didn't really feel like I could find a place like that. Mm-hmm. So I just decided to start it up myself and run with it from there.
Yeah, it says on your website, bring your faith and finances together on one path, steward your God-given wealth using biblical principles, partner with investment companies that fight against woke companies. And nowadays, there's really a very anti-woke sentiment in the country right now, politically and socially, and you see a lot of that. So what does that mean? How are you able to do that as you manage people's money and handle their estates and things like that? What's the process?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think the first thing we'd want to address, though, is why that matters, who you invest in with and what they're doing. So I'll give you an example. So most people have heard of Vanguard. They're one of the largest investment firms out there. But what a lot of people don't realize is that in like their largest index-based funds, they invest in strip clubs.
Mm.
And so now you're making money from that. The other problem, and I think this is more pronounced, is they also then own companies that make abortion drugs. Okay, so now you're profiting from the abortions. But it gets worse from that because what Vanguard does is then, you know, they're also a major shareholder in all of the media companies. So what they do is they say, well, we need to sell more of these abortion drugs because that's you have to grow it every year, right? Or else the stock goes down. So what they do is they go to the media companies and say, hey, when you guys make sitcoms this season, we need you to make it seem more normalized that people are taking the Plan B pill or that they're not having kids and things like that. And so that's why you see year over year like a 27% increase in positive abortion mentions in media.
Is that right?
It is.
And it's all driven by the financial sector. I've never heard that before. I guess it doesn't surprise me too much. I mean, because they say follow the money, you know. Interesting. So how do you vet the companies personally? Because there's a whole lot of different places you can invest people's money. So how do you do that?
Yeah. So the first step is to find investment companies that align with that. So examples of that might be a company called Inspire Investments out of Idaho. Timothy Plans is another one that I work with. And so those are companies that have specifically said, we're going to screen and we're going to only invest with companies that follow Christian values or that at least are neutral and don't violate them. So Inspire is one that I work with a lot, and they have a very strong shareholder activism program. So recently what they've done is they had put pressure on Walmart, is a good example of that, to kind of say, hey, we don't want the DEI. We just want you to be neutral again,
mm-hmm.
you know. So stop focusing on that and focus more on the things that are going to drive shareholder value. And so recently they were able to get Walmart to chuck their DEI policies.
Mm. Yeah, it seems to be, like I mentioned a moment ago, a lot of that going on. I think there was the wave with the last election. A lot of people are seeing that the country is in many ways kind of sick of the wokeness, aren't they? And are companies responding? It seems a little bit disingenuous is that they're just kind of following the money. It doesn't seem like core principles, but ultimately that's what the companies are doing. They're trying to make money, so they're putting their finger in the air and seeing which way the wind is blowing. But right now it's kind of blowing in an anti-woke manner, isn't it?
It is, and I think that that's a good start. And I think the problem, though, is we don't want to let our foot off the gas, okay? We want to make sure that we can still, in 5 years from now, still have that pressure on them. We don't want to say, okay, we can invest with whoever because it's fine now.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it will very quickly swing back. As you said, you say check the wind and go back. So we want to make sure that they're not using our money against us. And the way to do that is by to work with firms like mine that use these biblically responsible investments.
You mentioned in one of the spots that you recorded about how in married relationships, it's the financial issues that often cause a lot of problems. And so when a man and a wife are united in their financial decisions, it can really bring a lot of peace and concord in the marriage. Can you speak about that?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the things that we forget when we talk about being made in God's image. And what is God? He is a creator, okay? And so that means we are co-creators. And money is a representation of the value of the things that we create. And so if we aren't on the same page with our spouses about our money, we aren't on the same page about what we're creating. And it can create a lot of discord and disharmony in the family from that. And I think a lot of it has to do with communication, because if you are going to communicate about your money, then you have to talk about where you value, how the discipline that comes into that. And so it forces you as a couple to be on that same page. And that's what I think brings families back together.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Evan Frazier is my guest, owner, founder, president, TechWise Financial, TEKWISE. TechWiseFinancial.com is the website, faith-based financial planning for Christians. And I do want to thank also Doreen Cheney, because she's the one that introduced me to you and vice versa. She is with Decided Excellence, and I think you're a sponsor of her Southlake and Keller magazines as well. So thank you for that. Talk about estate planning. What do you offer in that regard?
So I think that's another one that's really important because, you know, as Proverbs tells us, the wise man leaves an inheritance for his generation's generation. And so I think a lot of times people think estate planning is only about, you know, leaving money behind for the kids and things like that. But there's a lot more that goes into it, okay? As a good steward of your money, we want to be as tax efficient as possible. So we don't want to set ourselves up so that the majority of the money is going to the government rather than our families and the next generations. And so one of the great things that I work with was a company that does digital estate planning. So traditionally, you have a giant book. It's very expensive. And every time you want to change something, you have to take it back to the attorney, and they charge you to change it. With these digital trusts, one of the great things is that you can go online and update it as often as you want. And two, where most people make mistakes around estate planning is that they don't fund it correctly. With this, you can just go in and you don't have to go to the DMV. You don't have to go to every account you hold someplace and have them change it. You can just change it yourself in the website. Makes it a lot easier and a lot less mistakes.
You mentioned before we started the show that there's a new program that you have where people that don't have tons of money, maybe they have $100 or $200 a month to invest, can do that. They can do it online and still have the faith-based investing. What is that program, and how can people take advantage of that?
Yeah. So the idea kind of behind that program is that I had a lot of people reaching out who were saying, all right, Evan, I don't have a whole lot. I only have maybe $50, $100, $200 a month, but I like this idea of biblically responsible investing, and I want to get myself onto that path. But for most financial advisors, it's very difficult to work with somebody like that. So I wanted to create a more automated approach. Was able to build some new software and work with a new firm, Interactive Brokers, that was able to support that. So now we can have somebody can just go to the website. So it's the techwisefinancial.com/signup. And then we can go through. Basically, you just take a little questionnaire, determine how much risk you want. Then you open up the account and then you deposit the money and then it gets invested. And then you'll have access that if you do want to talk to a financial advisor, which would be me in this case, you can set time and say, hey, I just want to work with you for 2 hours on budgeting, or I want to work on life insurance or something like that. And so you can kind of pick and choose, and you don't have to have the full service.
The number one mistake people make about investing, what would that be? If you were to give a talk and that's your topic, well, what, or maybe one or two, what are the biggest mistakes? What advice can you give?
I think it's about, well, I think giving advice and taking advice from somebody, you know, the Bible constantly talks about taking wise counsel. And so working with somebody who aligns with your values, I think, is step number one. Because otherwise you start, again, working with somebody and then it pulls you away from those values. And you don't even quite see it at first. So I think step one is finding someone and working with their values. And then step two, having someone who can tell you, hey, I know the market's crazy right now, and you don't need to panic. You know, having someone kind of walk you through and talk you out of making the wrong decision at the wrong time, I think is really important. And having an automated process helps with that.
Now that you mention it, how is the market right now? And interest rates are high, and what do you see, you know, moving forward? Are you optimistic?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll probably start to see interest rates come back down, which for right now, I would say is actually a really good time to look at your insurance, because kind of opposite of houses, you know, with buying a house, you want low interest rates. When you're buying insurance, you want to buy when interest rates are higher. So I just had a client reach out to me, and they had bought their insurance like 12 years ago, and they hadn't really had much in the health changes. And so we looked at it, and we were able to double the amount of coverage and keep the price the same.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that's one I would look at. As far as the overall market, I mean, I think the international side is going to have some trouble with all the tariffs. But I don't think that's a reason to not invest in that. I think you are going to see some short-term hurt in the markets. I think you're going to start seeing pullbacks. But for somebody who's got 5-10 year time horizon, I don't think it's going to be a big deal.
Evan Frazier, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Website, techwisefinancial.com. He is a sponsor. I know you've heard of spots. And he's in town, techwisefinancial.com. And you and your wife just had a baby not too long ago. How many children do you have now?
That makes number 5.
Oh,
number
congratulations. Five. How old is the youngest?
About a month and a half now.
Okay.
About a month and a half.
Never a dull moment. What's the age range?
So the oldest just turned 7. So they go all the way from 7 down to about 2 months.
Wow. Okay.
So, yep. 4 girls and 1 boy. We're outnumbered.
All right. Thanks, Evan. Evan Frazier, techwisefinancial.com, faith-based financial planning for Christians. TechWise is TEKWISE. Financial.com. Great to have you on the program with me. And just in the minute we have remaining, I just want to reiterate a few of the things that we talked about at the beginning of the show, if I may. Car raffle for the 2025 Mercedes-Benz GLB 250 is going to be tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, 7:15. If you want to tune in about 30 minutes before that, I'm going to have my segment on Morning Joy, where it's called Thinking Out Loud. And my topic, assuming that Keith and Tim approve it, is going to be, what does St. Thomas Aquinas say about improving your mind?
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. I hope he has something to say about it.
Okay. It's about intellectual virtues. Okay. So that's what it's about. Spring Share-a-thon begins March 24th. And don't forget, in about 1 hour, Bishop Greg Kelly is going to be installed as the new Bishop of the Diocese of Tyler. If you want to listen to that, go to our app for Guadalupe Radio. You can also watch it on the Catholic Diocese of Dallas webpage, dallascatholic.com, dallascatholic.com. And of course, the Diocese of Tyler is going to be streaming that as well. And then don't forget also, two last things, 25th anniversary event for Guadalupe Radio Network will be Saturday, July 19th at the Plano Event Center. Matt Maher concert, Father Chris Aylor, a whole lot of other great speakers. And then in about 2 hours, in Rome, 9 p.m. time Rome. Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Parolin is going to lead a prayer service and rosary for Pope Francis in St. Peter's Square. Please pray for the Holy Father as his situation is pretty critical from a health perspective. May God bless him and protect him. And thank you for listening to the Good News Show. We will have our next show, God willing, next Monday and with some new guests. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show.
Come find joy in a broken world by attending the 14th annual North Texas Catholic Men's Conference hosted by the Catholic Brothers for Christ. We'll gather on Saturday, March 1st from 8 a.m. to 3:30 at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church in Keller. This will be a day of faith and fellowship and features three guest speakers in Chris Stefanik, Father Leo Paddlinghug, and Kevin Matthews. The cost is $55 for men, $10 for students, and free to clergy and seminarians. Visit CatholicBrothersForChrist.com for details, sponsorship opportunities, and to register.
Hi, my name is Emily Vines. I'm currently studying at the University of Dallas, and I'm a foreigner student of Homeschool Connections, a Catholic online provider of live and recorded classes for grade school, middle school, and high school students. At Homeschool Connections, your student can incorporate their Catholic faith into a variety of subject matter. You can learn more by visiting homeschoolconnections.com, a sponsor of the GRN. Again, that's homeschoolconnections.com.
KATH 910.